WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The first night of a curfew in a small section of Los Angeles has quieted anti-ICE raid demonstrations. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is downtown.
There is a curfew in effect. It remains in effect this morning, and it has been effective. Much calmer overnight than previous nights, the LAPD confirming dozens of people were arrested.
Anti-ICE protests have spread to Denver, Chicago, New York, Atlanta, and Austin, Texas.
Change will only happen when we keep putting pressure on the people in power, the police, ICE, the politicians, everyone.
They observed a minute of silence across Austria, a day after a 21-year-old former student killed 10 people at his old high school before taking his own life. The BBC's Bethany Bell.
People who live in this area have been telling me about their disbelief, that they can't believe something like this could have happened here in this area, which they say is usually so quiet, beautiful, and safe.
No motive yet. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin's tourism industry saw another record-breaking year in 2024. According to new data released by Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Tourism, over 114 million people visited the state in 2024, generating a total economic impact of nearly $26 billion. The previous record was set in 2023 with about $25 billion of economic impact. In addition to the growing number of visitors and the money they generate, the tourism workforce also grew by over 2% to 182,000 jobs. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development have announced over $10 million in grant funding for regional workforce development organizations across the state. It's the second round of grant funding awarded through the Worker Advancement Initiative, which seeks to assist workers who lost their jobs during the COVID-19 pandemic by offering subsidized employment and skills training opportunities. The Northwest Wisconsin Workforce Investment Board will receive nearly $700,000 of that grant funding. City of Eau Claire officials say the section of Farwell Street near the Eau Claire Transfer Center project will remain closed for a few weeks after the center opens as construction continues on the apartment complex above it. The Transfer Center project has been years in the making and is currently scheduled to open by early fall. Construction on the apartment complex portion of the project is expected to continue until early November. The city will also begin offering microtransit services covering smaller areas of the city around the time the transit center opens. The Chippewa County Department of Public Health has announced its free sharps disposal program has been extended through the end of the month. County health officials say they collected over 250 pounds of sharps during the month of May, which encouraged them to keep the service going for June. Residents can visit the County Department of Public Health office during regular business hours to safely dispose of things like needles and syringes. There will also be a pop-up collection event at the Chippewa Falls YMCA on Monday from noon to 5 p.m. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers beat the Braves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers and Braves series wrapping up today in Milwaukee. A recap tonight. Last night, the crew with a 4-1 win over Atlanta, thanks to home runs from Jake Bowers, Jackson Chourio, and six solid innings pitched by 24-year-old right-hander Quinn Priester.
The cutter, you know, at the top was really good today, and, you know, having that confidence in that pitch gave me some confidence. I was able to execute more often than not.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
You know, that kid has just been getting better and better, and it's credit to the front office for really picking this kid out specifically, saying we got a chance. And I remember like 3 weeks before we got him, they've done their research, and it's great to see it happen.
NFL, day two of the Packers mini camp in Green Bay. Now that Jair Alexander's been released, the team taking a look at wide receiver Bo Melton as a possible defensive back in practice. In golf, Division I State High School Golf Tournament in Madison, Peyton Elbers, a junior from Wanakee, the winner after a three-hole playoff. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a high in the upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, a few scattered showers. We're going to drop down into the mid-50s. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Just some locally heavy rain and a high right around 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
What if it smells terrible?
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, you're going the wrong way. And Candy and Steve Martin go, ha, 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 how do they know where we're headed? Congress and the administration are saying, this is what we're going to do for our budget. But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Pat Kreitlow, Trigvi Olsen join us for a Wednesday roundtable, along with Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area for his new take on Governor Evers. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. 93.5 The Tap.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday morning. It's June 11th, 2025, and still to come, our homeroom segment this hour, we'll be talking to two local teacher union leaders, one out of Eau Claire, one out of Green Bay. We'll talk about the state budget debate and what lawmakers could be doing to better support our public schools, transparency with the voucher school system, and much more as we kind of wrap up the school year and get some people's thoughts heading into the summer break. Then in our next hour, we will be talking to Earl Ingram. We'll have Sean O'Malley with your markets and money. And we'll talk to Melissa Baldoff in our climate check. She will also be talking in that segment as well, having formerly worked for Governor Tony Evers, about the new Dan Schaefer column at the Recombobulation Area that says that Governor Evers did a terrific job, but he should not run for a third term. And we'll see what Melissa has to say about that. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is standing by as well. But first, let's take care of that Scani Summer Text to Win contest. You know the drill by now. We've got a couple more days to play it. Four times a day, you can get $100 cash or a pair of Brewers tickets. Every entry puts you in the drawing for one of the grand prizes, a weekend stay in Door County or Wisconsin Dells, a little gas money to get you there as well. A different keyword each time that you need to text us through the Civic Media app that you can download over at Apple, Google, or elsewhere. Go to one of the stations on the app and then use the text button at that particular radio station on the app to send us that hour's keyword. For this hour today, for a pair of Brewers tickets, good Brewers tickets, club-level seats, you're going to love them. For a pair of Brewers tickets this hour, the keyword is beer, B-E-E-R. Should have got that Brett Kavanaugh thing out. I like beer. So beer, B-E-E-R. You have until the end of the hour to text us this hour's keyword. Your next chances to play come at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m. Different keywords each time. For this hour, the keyword is beer, B-E-E-R, for a pair of Brewers tickets using that Civic Media app. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot now, where we said that Tuesday was going to be the driest day, and then, you know, the rain comes, and then the rain's going to come some more, and the rain's going to come some more, but it's not here yet. And so that's been making for a very pleasant morning here all around Wisconsin, Brittany.
It sure has been. I mean, it took forever for the clouds to clear out of the entire state yesterday. I thought that was going to happen much earlier, but it took its sweet time. So thankfully, the sun is shining across a majority of Wisconsin right now. There is some patchy thick fog far northeast in areas like Shawnee, Eagle River as well. Also a little crisp and cool this morning far up north, 43 degrees this morning, 70 already into West Bend. We are looking at temperatures far north making it to the 70s and down south into the low to mid 80s. Now we could see some 90 degree temperatures sneak into places far southeast in the state today. So we're really cranking the heat up and the humidity stays on the comfortable side of things. So a nice day, a lot of sunshine to start the day. The clouds will be increasing as we move through this afternoon. We do have multiple low pressure systems lined up and headed towards us, and it's going to bring some showers and storms by around 5 or 6 o'clock tonight. Far west is going to see those move in first. It's going to spread into the central areas of the state late tonight. And then overnight, it'll continue to stay in the southern half of the state into tomorrow morning before the rain starts to lift north. And it's going to become heavy at times far north tomorrow throughout the day into our Friday. And then it drops back south through the state into our Friday and Saturday. So it is just going to be a wet mess as we go through the end of the week. We do dry things out in the weekend.
I was really glad to get a little bit of time yesterday afternoon to get the lawn mowed because, you know, again, for anybody who didn't, and if they can't get to it this morning, you know what they're thinking. They're like, I'm going to have to bail this thing, you know, by the time you find a break in the rain to get out there. I'm looking across the field here and I'm like, I haven't looked at the stats, but I'll bet second cutting of hay is underway for some folks maybe already. And again, you have to watch the weather on that as well. So we'll keep an eye on the sky and on your forecast. Brittany, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next hour.
Sounds good.
All right. Coming up on the Civic Media Radio Network later this afternoon on the Maggie Dawn Show, she'll have on in the 4 o'clock hour State Representative Renuka Mayadev on the Democrats' bill package that will protect Wisconsin from unlawful federal actions. We've talked a bit about it on this program as well, saying that if President Trump tries to claw back some federal funds that Congress had already approved previously, then maybe Wisconsin needs to, you know, not make some of its federal payments. And so that'll be talked about. Tanya Atkinson from Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin will be on at 4:30 this afternoon. And in the 5 o'clock hour, Bharat Ramamurthy, Senior Advisor for Economic Strategy at the American Enterprise Liberties Project and former Deputy Director for President Biden's National Economic Council, all about, again, the ways that there was a recovery that was going on, you know, the best recovery on the planet post-COVID, but it wasn't perfect. And so Donald Trump was able to exacerbate that and has now put the economy in a near tailspin. So I'm sure that'll be one of the subjects coming up from Maggie Dawn a little bit later on her program, starting at 4 o'clock here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Rob, where are my manners? I let Brittany go before saying good morning from Tigerton. Hazy sunshine, 57 degrees, 5 lawns to mow in the Tigerton area. Yesterday, he had 5 in the Wittenberg area. Then says he had lasagna for lunch at Brianna's in the Wilderness Travel Center at exit 196. That's at Highway 29 and 45 South near Wittenberg. I've stopped there many, many times on the way to Manitowoc and Sherry's parents' farm. Said yesterday he had to wear a jacket mowing the lawn early on until the sun came out. Has a doctor's appointment in Shawano this afternoon. And he said, get that Supertramp song, It's Raining Again, from 1982, a year of awesome songs. So, yeah, maybe tomorrow we'll have Supertramp's It's Raining Again to, you know, keep you company as well. So thank you, Rob, for all of that. Just wanted to check through the text line here. Oh, a lot of Scotty Summer text to win people. A lot of people sending beer as the keyword here. But here it is from Dave in New Berlin. I heard your thought before the 6:30 break about, you know, what is the Midwest and what is up north? And he said, consider this. Daytona Beach is up north relative to Miami. With that thought in mind, Dave says, how far north do I need to go to be up north? I thought up north was Wisconsin Rapids. I don't know if we've ever put Parker on the spot for this. Parker Olson in Madison Studio A2. Parker, for you, where does up north begin?
Where does up north begin? That is a fantastic question, and I am pulling up a map right now so I can give you a good answer.
Okay, well, at least, are you going to say Wisconsin Dells so that, you know, I can pile on, or are you going to give me something closer to Highway 10 or 29 or something like that?
I'm going to say north of Minneapolis, basically. It's like... Where you are, basically.
Buddy, Minneapolis is in Minnesota.
Yeah, I know. Thank you, Pat. Thank you for that.
What's up north in Wisconsin? At what point in Wisconsin are you up north?
Chippewa Falls is like my
The gateway up north. That's, yeah. you know, sucking up is always rewarded around here. We do appreciate that. So you're close. You're very close. Highway 29 is up north. And so there are folks in, Wisconsin, Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point going, hey, no, we're the gateway to up north. No, it's Highway 29.
You're waiting. Sorry, yeah.
I don't make the rules. I only enforce them. So there we go. And Tony, of course, Ashland.
Yeah, look, well,
Highway 2 is not our definition of up north for these purposes, unless you live, you know, in an igloo, perhaps.
That is the north of north.
Yes. But yeah, Tony's like, ugh, Eau Claire is hours to the south of us. Well, yes, point well taken, but it still is what it is as far as up north goes. So we mentioned all this because it was in our newsletter today is your definition of the Midwest. And whether you include certain states, you know, your Pennsylvanias and Montanas, is Missouri part of the Midwest? You know, Nebraska, yes. Kansas, yes. Or, you know, at what point are we running out of mid in terms of Midwest?
Yeah, I think Kansas is probably the furthest south I'll go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Missouri, so, I guess, dips a little below there.
Not Arkansas.
No, not Arkansas. What?
Okay.
Is that a thing that people say?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Scott in Shorewood, it says Sheboygan is the way to go on that. So, and again, if you're in the eastern part of the state, Sheboygan does make sense. You know, you're getting there. Yeah. But, I mean, you still have Green Bay, you know, yet. And when we're talking about up north, we're talking about really getting out of any potential for traffic signals. And that was key to Chippewa Falls, because for the longest time, Chippewa Falls was the last signal light that you'd hit on Highway 53 before it became a freeway. And then you wouldn't hit a signal light again until you got off the freeway in, you know, Rice Lake or Hayward or whatever. So you can measure it many different ways. I happen to choose the signal light in Chippewa Falls.
I did not know about that. That's really interesting.
Oh, yes. Huh. Yeah. Yeah. There's going to be a parade in Oconomowoc, of course, like in a lot of other communities coming up for the 4th of July. But in Oconomowoc, according to a post I'm seeing on the dumpster fire once known as Twitter, in Oconomowoc, they have said that their 4th of July is going to be politics free. And needless to say, in this area of around Oconomowoc, which is quite Republican, a lot of folks are not happy that their legislators, that their congressman Scott Fitzgerald, that Senator Ron Johnson would not be permitted to march in the parade. And I have to say that when I first started reading this, I was going to side with the folks who were critical of it, having been in many parades myself. But then, and this is the twist, Oconomowoc, the Oconomowoc Rotary Club, came up instead with a different event. Their tweet reads, "To underscore our spirit of inclusivity, we warmly invite representatives from all political affiliations to gather for a special moment of unity featuring the renowned University of Wisconsin Marching Band. The band will perform their beloved fifth quarter celebration at the Village Green following the parade, providing a symbolic moment of unity and welcoming participation from all members of our community." So what they're saying to the politicians is, if you're marching in the parade, you're inviting people to boo or to disagree or whatever, but come to this moment of unity. And I would understand if you said, no, that's not good enough. You know, your representative should be in the parade. But here's the thing. Some politicians like to march in the parades. They like to go down the route and shake hands. There's others, frankly, who don't and are going to be very happy about announcements like this, because first you've got the unity event. But just as important or more important to some of them, instead of being in the parade where people are jeering or whatever, you get to just work behind the scenes. You can go up and down the sidewalk. You can go around the, you know, the barbecue, you know, thing, the beer tent, especially, shake hands and not have to, you know, sweat like crazy on a hot, sunny day in the parade. So for Oconomowoc, for the Rotary, the fact that they created this secondary event, which then allows the elected officials to just meet the crowd one-to-one instead of in a parade, I don't have a problem with that. I know other people do, and I understand, and I'd love your thoughts on it as well. Should all politicians just be welcome to march in parades and the crowd should just behave themselves? Or, do you like the twist that Econowoc has put on this? Would love to know your thoughts on that. From the heart of America's up north, truly up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend a part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down at our new clinic in Hudson. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Hudson. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I was just going to start blurting out random names here as people text in the keyword for the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest, which is beer, B-E-E-R. And so I was just going to grab whoever the last text was and say hi to Don in Waukesha. But I can't because Kathy with a C came in just afterwards. So Kathy, hi to you. Thank you for using the Civic Media app and texting us the word beer in the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. We were talking during the break about parades and Econowoc and other communities, and I was talking about my experiences as a state senator and as a candidate in these parades, and I'd be just as happy working the beer tent and working behind the scenes. And I shared with young Parker here my proposal that you make more parades like street festivals. And again, I know there are a lot of people who are fans of parades. You're not going to like me saying this. But maybe you just instead, you know, tell all the groups, the floats and everything, here's where you're going to be on Main Street, and you're going to stay right there, and the people are going to parade, basically like a street festival. And that way, if they want to stop and talk to you, they will. If they don't, they move on to the next one. You put your craft vendors in there, your food booths. You just make it one big street festival rather than a parade.
Yeah.
Like now, that. A lot of people, and what did you compare it to college-wise?
Yeah, it's like the first week of college when they're throwing all those resources at you and they're tabling. They're like, hey, we have university health services. We can help you out. Come on over.
We can get you the party pack. Here's an STD pamphlet.
Yeah, here's the condoms.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Tony, parades are awful. I said it. Yes, Tony, yeah. some people do see it that way. I know that we really overthought how to do parades, and that's why we picked what I considered the best parade candy to toss, which would be Starbursts, because they're individually wrapped. And so you can just throw like a handful of them out to the kids and, you know, they won't get all dirty. There's other things that I see people throwing them and I'm just like, no, I wouldn't throw that candy. It's going to get, you know, dirty or what have you. And then there was the politician one year who was throwing out packets of meat seasoning.
What?
I know. I think he got a deal from a local meat shop because it was advertised on there.
I don't care.
I know. The thing is, we were a couple of floats behind. I want to say this was in Colby, and this goes way back. And I mean, it just gave us great fodder to talk to the crowd. We're like, how do you like your meat seasoning? You know,
it's how's it smell?
Yeah. It's part of the magic of doing the parades. So
that's awesome.
Tony asking, you didn't throw candy cigarettes? Now that would have been funny because we were talking about the smoking ban at the time and whether to have a smoking ban or not. I can't believe some legislator somewhere who was against the smoking ban didn't pass out candy cigarettes.
That'd be really good.
That would have been so good. Let's see, from Culver's, this is a story from Jalissa Burns in the Appleton Post-Crescent, saying that Culver's is about to debut a new chicken sandwich lineup, revealing three recipes that underwent years of perfecting. The Wisconsin-based burger chain, she writes, will permanently feature new crispy chicken, spicy crispy chicken, and grilled chicken sandwiches, replacing all three of the current chicken sandwich recipes. Here's where the story gets good. We just looked at the landscape of all the different chicken sandwiches that are out there, and we just thought our quality could be better, said head of culinary, Casey McDonald.
No.
Yeah, yes. No. I'm scrolling the story and I'm like, wait, something doesn't seem, why am I seeing McDonald? And I scroll back up and it's Casey McDonald, head of culinary for Culver's.
That feels illegal. You can't do that.
It does, but here's the thing. Now I'm thinking those sandwiches got to be really good because how much pressure are you under? If your name is McDonald and you're doing the new chicken sandwiches for Culver's, because if they're awful, they're like, she's doing that on purpose. She's a McDonald. No, I think so. Tony's got a 3-part reaction on YouTube as the story's unfolding. I'm intrigued. And then a few seconds later, he types, now I'm sold. Followed by, take my money, Culver's. Yes. So this will start June 16th, so that's 5 days from now, where you'll be able to get the new chicken sandwich lineup as concocted by, among other people, Culver's head of culinary, Casey McDonald.
Wishing
you all the best for that. Another story I want to pass along from the Milwaukee Business Journal, and this gets back into the whole notion of what's happening in the news in terms of the trade war. And no, we haven't forgotten the trade war still out there. And that there is still so much uncertainty, to put it mildly. And that's the headline in the Milwaukee Business Journal from the CEO of Generac, who says, you simply can't make long-term decisions. Generac CEO frustrated with tariff policy gyrations. It says here, President Trump's policies have effectively frozen Generac Power Systems' long-term planning for staffing, equipment needs, and facilities, according to CEO Aaron Jagfeld. And I want to give proper attribution here. This was from Rich Kirchen, senior reporter for the Milwaukee Business Journal. It happened during a Tuesday roundtable on Waukesha County business hosted by the journal. Jagfeld expressed frustration at the ever-shifting tariff policies. He says, we have to figure out where it's going in terms of just the tariff environment, he said. I haven't checked my Truth Social Twitter feeds this morning. Oh, that's an excellent point. He says, it's more than challenging to engage in any long-term planning until there is some level of stability. He says, Trump's goal of reshoring of manufacturing to the United States presents some opportunities, but doesn't make sense in many cases. as plenty of economists have tried to tell him. Generac has 2,000 employees at its Waukesha County locations, including the corporate headquarters, offices in Waukesha, and a plant in Eagle. So again, just more of that uncertainty where even if you agree with the foundation of what President Trump wants to do with trade, it's the scattershot way of doing it that just hasn't been good for business or the economy yet. We've got today's homeroom segment coming up next with a couple of local education leaders here on these mornings powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Andrew Iverson is Wisconsin's new state director for USDA's Rural Development Office. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. And his number one goal right now, making sure you and I know exactly what services the Rural Development Agency has to offer.
Well, that's a big part of it is you're exactly right. It's the outreach. And so it's taking our programs and educating communities and individuals and organizations what USDA Rural Development does. And so that's a big part of it is the outreach, going around the state and making people aware, first and foremost, of what we do. Another thing we want to focus on is streamlining our application process. That's the one thing we want to look into to make sure that we are providing excellent customer service to Wisconsinites.
Allen Iverson is the new state director for the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Rural Development Office, headquartered in Stevens Point. Prior to joining the Rural Development Office, he served as executive director for the Republican Party of Wisconsin.
65 years ago, Bob Steffes built a legacy, one auction at a time. Today, Steffes Group carries on that tradition, delivering trusted service with integrity you expect. From the first conversation to the final bid, we're more than an auction company. We're your partner in sharing your legacy, because here, handshake still means something. Visit steffesgroup.com right now for information on auctions in your area, nationwide, and to find a local representative near you. That's steffesgroup.com.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVets Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And dairy farmers across the state have voted for 8 representatives on the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin Board of Director. There was only one district where more than one candidate was running. That was District 21, Crawford and Vernon counties, where Chad Syme from Gaze Mills was selected to represent dairy producers. The election results totaled just under 11% of dairy farmers from across the state that actually participated. And participation is strong at this year's Wisconsin State FFA convention. Tonight, they will have a special recognition of their adults that have contributed to the FFA, the Wisconsin FFA Hall of Fame induction ceremony, as well as announcing the Stars Over Wisconsin that will advance to national competition this fall in Indianapolis. You can follow our action at MidwestFarmReport.com. Our team will be there. That's a look at what's happening in food news on a Wednesday. I'm Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a high in the upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, a few scattered showers. We're going to drop down into the mid-50s. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Just some locally heavy rain and a high right around 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
We need a fun listener name, something the followers of the show can call themselves. I thought, how about Couch Potatoes?
Potatoes.
I said it as a joke, and Todd cracked up. He goes, I love that. Whatever it is, folks, embrace your inner couch potato. We are not meant to work in the farms and hunt food. We were 1,000 years ago. But now, I think God wants us to sit back and be entertained.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, it'll be this week's edition of Broad Appeal. I'll be talking with Tanya Atkinson, president of Planned Parenthood Advocates Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Here's your reminder that before the hour is up, use that Civic Media app and text us the keyword beer, B-E-E-R. That's this hour's keyword for a pair of brewer's tickets. And you'll also be in the running for those grand prizes, a weekend getaway in Door County or in Wisconsin Dells. Again, use the Civic Media app. Go to any one of the radio stations on there. Use the text feature and text us the keyword beer before the end of this hour. And by the way, while you're on the app, use that voice note feature as well. Remember, I mentioned our phone system is undergoing a little remodeling job right now, shall we say? So in the meantime, you can text us, but you can also leave us a voice note, and maybe we'll put that on the air as well with your take on, you know, the new Culver's chicken sandwiches, for example, or anything that you heard so far in all the various news stories that we covered, or what we're about to cover as we head into our homeroom segment for this week, where we talk about public education, all of the opportunities, all of the great things about education in Wisconsin, and of course, all the threats to it as well. And so joining us today, we've got Brent Bergstrom. He's president of the Green Bay Education Association, and Jeremy Traynor, president of the Eau Claire Association of Educators. Both are WEAC affiliates. Brent and Jeremy, good morning. Thank you for being here today.
Morning.
Good morning.
It's so great to have you both here. Jeremy, do I understand right? You're fairly new in the leadership role in Eau Claire?
Yeah, well, I started my presidency, I guess, about 10 days. So I'm a seasoned veteran. No, not
yes.
I'm a science teacher here in Eau Claire, and I've been teaching that. I just finished my 26th year, which is why my hair is a little, you know, less than normal. But and I've been on the exec team for our union for quite a while. I was also on the WEAC board of directors. So I have a little experience going into this, but in terms of being the president and the leader of our union, fairly new. So,
okay. And Brent, tell us a little of your background as an educator and being active in the union.
Yeah, I'm a music teacher in the Green Bay Area Public Schools, and I have been serving for the Green Bay Education Association as the president for about 3 years. I have experience teaching in Eau Claire, Peshtigo, and Green Bay. So I've been all over the place in different size districts across the state.
Okay. So we're getting into the end of the school year, but we're also still in the thick of the state budget debate at the state capitol. So we'll have some ground to cover in both of those areas. But Brent, I wanted to start with you because we've spoken on the program a couple of times here about Green Bay's decision at the city level to put the impact of school vouchers on the actual property tax bills, and that some folks want to make sure that you and your union teammates get credit for that, because this is all about transparency is the way I want to put it. You know, it's very tough to take on a threat if the threat's invisible. And it sure seems like a lot of the ways that our tax dollars have been going to the voucher system have not been transparent. And so you and your team have played a role in improving that, haven't you?
Yeah, I wish we could take all the credit. We were really a very, very small part of the work that was done. we've been talking about it for years, and finally the city council did pass a vote to show that up on our tax bills. So we're really happy about it, because the public deserves to know how much money is being funneled into private voucher schools.
And that was, I would imagine, not it was, is still a surprise to folks when people are told by you or others, you know, again, I think so many people think the voucher program is still this little experimental thing. And for just say the taxpayers in Green Bay, it most certainly is not, right?
Correct. Yeah. We lose about $13 million in the Green Bay public schools to private voucher schools. So that's a big, big ticket item there. So the big part that usually surprises people is when we say that voucher schools are reimbursed for special education at 90%, where public schools are only reimbursed at 30%. It's clearly not equal.
No, and that was a story statewide, and I don't know if it was the Associated Press or Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, but somebody put out the story, and then a lot of other outlets picked it up. The kind of thing we have been saying for months, if it almost feels like years here, is that disparity in just that area, the special education reimbursement rate. Jeremy, do you feel the same challenges there in terms of bringing transparency to the taxpayers so that they understand, and they can't just say, oh, it's those teachers unions that are responsible for our property tax bills? It's a real messaging challenge for you guys, right?
Well, 100%. And it's, you know, it's a challenge everywhere. I think we're starting to get some momentum. Just the fact that districts are forced to go to a referendum, you know, every 2 years. And then there's a lot of education that, you know, is involved in those referendums just to get them to pass. But the reality is we're asking our taxpayers to fund two school systems, and the system's broken. It doesn't work. There's no evidence that voucher schools are doing any better than public schools. It's the opposite, actually. And I think that the public needs to understand how much money they're actually spending on those voucher programs. So like in Eau Claire, where we just passed a referendum in November, and it was really a status quo referendum just to keep the doors open. And we're going to be going back to referendum, it looks like, again, soon. We're already facing a deficit. And you know, this voucher program is killing us. So,
and even if you take away the voucher part of the equation, if you're just looking at why there are so many referendums, and again, I feel like the message is only starting to get out that we're talking about 16 consecutive years of underfunding schools compared to the rate of inflation. So, Jeremy, when you say it's about keeping the doors open, it's literally that. Referendums are not nearly as much for, you know, new buildings, new gyms, new remodels, new whatever. It's to keep the lights on the way things are right now.
Absolutely. I mean, especially, you know, smaller school districts are literally going bankrupt, and it's scary. Luckily in Eau Claire, we have a very supportive community that has been very supportive of our past referendum votes. So we've been able to at least keep the status quo, and we've been able to do some remodeling, but that's not going to last forever. Some of our old referenda dollars are going to be expiring, and we're going to be asking our public for even more. You know, the funding formula at the state level has to change, and our politicians, you know, need to get on the same page and fund our public schools. We're going to have some serious issues.
That would be a lot easier if only we had a budget surplus, Brent. Oh, wait, we do. It's $4 billion that's sitting there. Brent, this is not an unsolvable problem in Madison.
No, it's not. And, you know, I mentioned that reimbursement rate before. The budget only calls for 60% for public schools. Again, big gap there between public schools and private schools. And we've been told time and time again that the Republicans will not come past even 35%. They might up it, but only to 35%. So the discrepancy there between the 90 and the 60 or the 30, it's huge, and it's not acceptable.
And then we get to the next step, which is the enrollment caps, because right now there is a limit to how much the state will pay for and allow for vouchers for kids to, you know, move from public schools into private schools. And yet those caps are set to be lifted. We have spoken to Eau Claire State Representative Christian Phelps about his bill that would keep the voucher caps on there. Jeremy, Representative Phelps is in your backyard there. How important is it for those enrollment caps to stay, and what happens if they actually are lifted?
I mean, it's vitally important that they stay. I mean, if they're lifted, we're already experiencing a declining enrollment. A lot of districts are, partially because of the voucher program. So when these kids leave the public school sector and go to the voucher schools, that reduces our enrollment at the public school, which also, reduces the amount of funding that we get at the state. So it's a huge snowball effect. Not only are we losing money due to the voucher programs, but we're also losing students.
How is it in the Green Bay area, Brent, in terms of the public perceptions that some politicians, are feeding into, like, well, this kind of competition is good. It doesn't, first off, should there be this kind of competition? Second, should it be there with public money? And third, does somebody have their thumb on the scales of this competition? But is that still the way it's kind of framed in conversations there, especially involving some politicians?
I would say yes. It always has been that way. It's been that way since Act 10 with Scott Walker and trying to turn the public against public schools and turn it against teachers. When it comes down to it, though, you know, our union and our district is there for the students, number one. And we know that the funding is not set up for the success of our students. It's set up to hurt public schools. It's set up to cause a bigger divide between the wealthy and the middle class. And we really just need to focus on getting our money back into our public schools and supporting our kids and our communities.
All right, let's step away from the politics here before we wrap up. Brent, we're heading into the summer break here. I mean, do you have any observations on how the year went as an educator, as a local labor leader, and, you know, how you expect things to go next year?
You know, this is one of the, I think I speak for most of our educators when I say this was one of the hardest years we've faced. Between the political climate, things that are carrying over into the classrooms from the political climate across the country, and just educators constantly being piled on with all of the work to try to move our students forward and being blamed when that doesn't happen is a lot for our staff to handle.
Would you share in that assessment, Jeremy, as you look back at this year and what the education environment is like?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt our staff works incredibly hard. Our teachers are dedicated to our students, all students, no matter, you know, what their zip code is, we're there for them. And, you know, there's just been a ton of initiatives added to us, added to our plates. I think we forget that COVID wasn't really that long ago, and we're still feeling the effects of that across the state. There's achievement gaps. A lot of social emotional learning has been happening, you know, inside our classroom as well. That's been adding to us. Students are just different, and technology is different. AI is different. And so there's been a lot of things added to teachers' plates that were never there before. And so we're working really, really hard. I'm proud of our teachers. I'm proud of our students. We're you know, making improvements, but we certainly need some support from our state level. We need some funding. We need equitable funding practices. I have nothing against private schools, but I just don't feel like, we should be asked to pay for them as well. You know, I think we need to put our funding back into our public schools and take some relief off of our teachers.
Yeah. And the work is getting done because of you and your colleagues. And then, you know, on top of the work, all that work from every educator needs some leadership as well. And thank you both for stepping up and doing that. Jeremy Traynor, president of the Eau Claire Area Educators, and Brent Bergstrom, Green Bay Education Association. Gentlemen, thank you both for everything that you do and for taking a little time with us this morning.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it so much. Still ahead today, we'll be talking to Civic Media's Earl Ingram about some of the stories that he's following in Southeast Wisconsin. And we'll be talking to Melissa Baldoff, who normally has our climate check segment. And we will, of course, still get into some climate check matters. But as a former staffer for Governor Tony Evers, she's got a few things to say as well about pressure that seems to be coming for Governor Evers to not run for a third term ahead of this weekend's state Democratic convention. That's all in the next hour of these mornings, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. In a highly controversial action, President Trump is testing the reach of his powers by sending 4,700 military personnel into Los Angeles to suppress protests. What are Title 10, the Insurrection Act, and the Posse Comitatus Act? The Posse Comitatus Act forbids the use of the military to enforce laws against U.S. citizens under ordinary situations, but there are extremely rare exceptions. In his mobilization of the California National Guard and active duty Marines, Trump invoked Title 10, a statute enabling the U.S. Armed Forces. Section 251 says, whenever there is an insurrection in any state against its government, the president may, upon the request of its legislature or of its governor if the legislature cannot be convened, call into federal service such of the militia of the other states in the number requested by that state and use such of the armed forces as he considers necessary to suppress the insurrection. No such request was made by state officials. Under the Insurrection Act, the American Constitution Center notes three circumstances where a president may use the military on U.S. soil: when a local official asks for assistance, when an insurrection against the federal government or judiciary occurs, or when a state refuses to uphold civil rights. What constitutes an insurrection? That will likely be decided by the U.S. Supreme Court. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Senator Kelder Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We've got Brewers baseball this afternoon on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Stop hitting your microphone, Mr. Alba. Coverage begins at 12:35 on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. From the text line, Laurie and Hayward, can you please shout out the word one more time? Yes, it is beer. B-E-E-R. You've got all of about 6 minutes to send that to us through the Civic Media app. Use that little text feature. And also, after you've texted us the keyword beer for this hour, remember you can do it again at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m. That would, of course, include 2 p.m. with the aforementioned Todd Albaugh, who joins us now from the balcony of his palatial estate in Madison. You can, I mean, this guy's as suburban as it gets. If you look very carefully on social media, the state capitol dome is peeking out his left ear, or it's one of his earbuds, could be. And what you got F-35 jets taking off clearly over you as well.
Yeah, the 40 Delta flight, I think. Wish I were on it.
Where does that one go? I mean, Madison's got a really nice airport. I got to say, Wisconsin itself has some really nice airports. I love the Milwaukee airport, but Madison, Mosinee, Eau Claire, if you ever have reason to, and Appleton, yes. If you can plan a trip and take it there instead of having to go to Minneapolis or Chicago and go through all the parking hassles and the lines and everything else, if you've never done that, do it. You might never go back. You know, TSA is, you know, the line is like five people long. You know, it's right. Wonderful.
My stepbrother lives in Portland, and during the certain times of the year, there's direct flights, believe it or not, from Appleton to Portland. And it's like $300. I mean, it's just round trip.
Yeah.
So, you're right. There's some great deals to be had at our many airports all across Wisconsin. I think that Delta flight probably going to, let's see, it's going west, probably going to Detroit this morning.
Okay.
I bet, my guess is.
Yeah. Do you know what one of the things that probably nobody should have told me about are these apps on your phone where you can see what plane is flying over your house at that moment? Because
really, I did not know this.
Oh yeah, Flight Radar is one of them, and there's some others as well. And it just becomes this game. You see this flight, and you always wonder, like, oh, I wonder where they're going to. And sometimes it'll say, like, you know, Chicago to Seattle, or, you know, Minneapolis to New York. And then you see these occasional ones that are like, I don't know, Sydney to London or something like that. And it's like, oh, flight path takes you right there. And again, it has no impact on your life whatsoever, but it's one of those interesting little conveniences that you now know what that plane is doing above you there, you know?
Because you think, you look up, you're like, where are they going? Well, turns out to Sydney.
Yeah. I always look at them and I think happy people, because I always think of the people going on vacation. Right. You know, it's like, oh, where are the happy people off to? Tony mentioned on YouTube, Duluth is another easy airport to use. Yes, very true. From our last segment, Chris Hambuck Boyle says, thank you, Jeremy and Brent, for your leadership and caring for our educators. Again, a great segment. I'm always happy that Todd comes on after the homeroom segment, Todd being as passionate about public education as anybody else that we can put in the homeroom segment. And I know the state budget debate is far from over, but Todd, I really do feel like we, and I mean a big we, everybody in education as well as broadcasting, are helping more people understand that this system is so out of whack and could be better. It's just that there are certain interests, certain parties, certain politicians that are preventing what could be a fix to the system.
Yeah, we had State Senator Kelda Royce, Democrat from the Madison area, on the show on Monday. She's been coming on every Monday through the Joint Finance Committee process, better known as the budget process that happens every 2 years here in the state of Wisconsin. And we talked about the story. It was in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I apologize. I forget who the Republican is who's sponsoring the bill right now in the legislature. Wants to give public all educators a $300 tax credit, because a lot of educators around the state, spend more than that every year buying supplies and equipment for their classroom, because the budget, the state legislature, and subsequently the school districts are underfunding our classrooms, our public education. And at first glance, you'd think, well, that's great. That's great. We're giving educators a $300 tax credit when they put money into their own classroom. But as Senator Royce pointed out, wouldn't it just be nice if we took part of the $4 billion with a B-plus state budget surplus and just actually properly funded our K-12 public schools, so our educators wouldn't have to put in their own money to the classroom?
Oh, it's like when I see these benefit things, and oh, how great it is that somebody donated their sick days so that somebody else could get chemotherapy. It's like, how about if we just have a system where, you know, you don't have to have a bake sale for education or for healthcare or things like that. So anyway, I feel like we're turning a corner on that bit by bit. Hey, you've got somebody on your show today who's getting a little bit of attention. We're going to talk about this next hour. That nice young man who serves as political editor and a founder of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, putting out a column that, again, in a nutshell says, Governor Tony Evers has been an amazing governor, a great governor, but he should not run for a third term, and laying out the case. I put that up on my Facebook. I got a lot of spirited reactions right away. I'm sure you're going to have that same kind of conversation with Dan Schaefer at 2:30 today.
I'm not sure what they're speaking of planes. Maggie Gao and Britt Cuddeback from the governor's office may want to take a flight through Milwaukee County Airport and spend some time in the recombobulation area at the Milwaukee County Airport, because that's where the name came from for Dan's foundation there, or the organization he started, the recombobulation area. And I think he has a great take. I've read it myself. I think it's really, really well written. Dan's a great writer, number one. And certainly he says about himself, he leans left, but he's also a realist. And I'm not 100% sure where I'm at personally yet. I share a lot of Dan's frustrations with it, but I think it's really well written. And I think that these are the kind of things, the kinds of conversations that Democrats should have had a couple of years ago about Joe Biden running. And Dan points out in the piece that was never had at the national level. We all know how that ended up. And so I think it's a really good discussion to be had now. I think there are some great Democrats that could run in the primary. Who comes out of that? I think I'm going to be very interested this weekend to see who the Democrats elect as chair, executive impact.
All right. Todd Albus got Dan Schaefer at 2:30 today. Have a great
show. And Pat Kreitlow.
Him too. All right. I'll see you this afternoon. Thank you, buddy. We have got Earl Ingram and Melissa Baldoff all ahead here on our mornings, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The first night of a curfew on anti-ICE protesters in downtown Los Angeles is about to be lifted. CBS's Elise Preston.
It has been the calmest we've seen it over the last several of days. Only a handful of National Guardsmen are standing by.
President Trump's just posted to Truth Social announcing a trade deal with China. He says the U.S. will get rare earth minerals. Tariffs on Chinese imports will go to 55%. U.S. Trade Rep Jamison Greer.
There are challenges that can't be eliminated in a couple of months, of course, but there are things we potentially could do.
Mr. Trump says the deal will allow Chinese students to attend U.S. universities. Hikers in Washington state say they may have spotted Travis Decker, the man wanted in the death of his three young daughters. Their mother's attorney, Ariana Cozart.
This, I think, has really just devastated our community. But I think that really is widespread, even across our country.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.